The revelation is in the fire. Go with me to two passages of Scripture. Go with me to Job chapter 42. And then we're going to go to Daniel chapter 3. Job chapter 42, verse 5. Verse 5 says, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye seeth thee. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye seeth thee. Go with me to Daniel chapter 3. Verse 14. Verse 14 says, Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if you be ready, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye shall fall down and worship the image which I have made well. But if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake, and commanded that they should heat the furnace 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, and their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonied, and rose up in haste, and spoke, and said unto his counselors, Did not we cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, True, O king. He answered and said, Lo, I see 4 men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the 4th is like the Son of God. The revelation is in the fire. Let's pray. Lord, we love you this morning, and God, we give you honor and we give you glory. God, we rise up today and bless your name and bless your heart. God, we rise up today, and no matter what circumstance, situation we find ourselves in, we declare you to be faithful and true. God, we come this morning singing the high praises of God. The high praises of God is simply everything in my life. It may not be going exactly like I want them to, but God, you are faithful, and you are in control, and you are up to something in my life. And it is a good work, and it is an eternal work. God, you're going to be glorified. And Lord, we put our faith, as our brother said this morning, we put our hope and our trust in you. And you are going to strengthen our heart. And God, you're going to be glorified through our life. Lord, we love you today, and we rise up and we just call you blessed, Lord. We just bless you with our lives this morning, God. We love you with all of our heart. Now, God, I just pray that you would speak to hearts today. I pray that you would encourage hearts today. God, I pray that you would strengthen hearts today. And God, I pray for the altar service. God, I pray that those who come, God, they would just be refreshed in heart. God, whoever this message is for, Lord, it's for all of us. But God, just for those, Lord, that come, God, I just pray you would refresh hearts and strengthen hearts. God, it is a good time to walk with God. God, it's a good time to be called according to your purposes. God, your kingdom is a powerful kingdom. And through our lives, God, you're going to reveal that kingdom. And Christ is going to be glorified. And we give you glory and honor for what you're doing in our lives. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The revelation is in the fire. Today we see many of the Lord's people in the fires. Today we see many of the Lord's people going through trials and hardships and difficulties. And many of them are just in this horrific fire. just talking to people who are going through fires, I see that sometimes we just feel like we're going to be consumed by this fire, and we just feel overwhelmed by the trial that we're going through. This morning I can look about the congregation, Mount Zion Church of the Holy Spirit, people that I know, and I can see certain faces, and in my heart I know the trials that you're going through, and I know the fires that you're going through. And others, I can look at your faces and I can remember some pretty difficult trials that you have been through, and some fires that you have gone through. And just having a pastor's heart, sometimes when you see the people of God going through the fires, and you see people that you love and that you're close to in your heart going through these great trials, sometimes there's just a question that just comes into your heart. Not that you're just questioning the Lord, questioning the Lord's honor, questioning the Lord's faithfulness, but you're just questioning the Lord, asking the Lord just to help you understand what's going on in people's lives as they go through these fires. There's something in our hearts that just says, Lord, I know that you're sovereign. Ultimately, God, you are sovereign over the lives of your people, and you are in control over the lives of your people. Lord, I know the Bible says that you are our shield. That, Lord, anything you allow in our lives, Lord, you have to lower that shield and allow it to pass through, because, Lord, you are our shield and you are our hedge. Lord, I know the Bible says that you are touched by the feelings of our infirmities. You're not indifferent to what we go through. Lord, your very word declares that you bottle all of our tears, that not one tear that falls from our eye escapes your notice, not one sorrow that grips our heart escapes your notice, that God, you are with your people, God, and you feel the sorrows and you're touched by the infirmities of your people. And we begin to pray these kind of prayers, and I've been praying to the Lord these kind of prayers. And the Lord has been answering this prayer, just seeking the Lord. The Lord has been answering this prayer. And as I was just seeking the face of the Lord spoke to me, and he said, talking about these trials and talking about the fires that so many people in the body of Christ are going through, the Lord just spoke to my heart, and he said, Tim, there's a revelation of myself that only comes in the fire. There's a revelation of myself that only comes by the fires. Now, there's something that God has been speaking to my heart, and he's been ministering to my heart very strongly for a few years now. In prayer, the Lord keeps bringing it up frequently, and I believe the reason why he does that is because it's something that we as a church need to know, and it's something that the body of Christ needs to be prepared for. And that's simply this. There are some very dark times coming to our nation. There are some very dark times coming to America. Brothers and sisters, if we had eyes to see it, we would see that there are some very dark clouds beginning to gather over our nation. God is about to shake our nation. God is about to move with a strong hand. God is about to allow some things that are going to come in our nation, upon our nation, that's going to shake this nation. And people are going to be running in fear. People are going to be running in confusion. People are going to be running their hearts in turmoil. But in the midst of it all, God needs a people who are standing and declaring the faithfulness of the Lord. In the midst of it all, when everyone else is being moved, God needs a people who's not being moved. In the midst of it all, when the people are being shaken, God needs to have a people who are not running to and fro in fear and confusion, but they're standing and declaring the faithfulness of the Lord. In this coming time of great darkness and trouble, who are those saints who will not be moved and shaken when fear and confusion is widespread? They are the saints who have already been through the fires with God, and they know His faithfulness. They are the saints who have already been through the fires with God, and they know that His faithfulness and His love is unfailing. When everyone else is running to and fro in confusion and fear, God's going to have a people who's already been through the fires with Him, and they're not moved, because they've already know the faithfulness of the Lord in their life, and they're not moved by it. This is why there are so many saints now who are in the fire. They are in the fire with their health. They are in the fire of afflictions and sickness. They're in the fire of finances. They're in the fire with their families. They're in the fire of weariness. They are in the fires of opposition and persecution. They are in the fires of temptation. They are in all kinds of fires. But what they are seeing in these fires is the faithfulness of God. And in these fires, there is an unwavering testimony of God's faithfulness being established in their hearts. God spoke into my heart very clearly concerning this message this morning. Bringing this message, God spoke something very clearly into my heart. And it's simply this, that the revelation that He is our provider is in the fire. That the revelation that He is our protector is in the fire. That the revelation that He is our healer is in the fire. That the revelation that He is our deliverer is in the fire. That the revelation that He is our comforter and our strength is in the fire. It is in the fire of trials and hardships that we truly see and learn God's faithfulness, and we become steadfast and immovable in the faithfulness of God. Brothers and sisters, very dark times are coming to our nation. I'm going to say it in the authority of God. God is going to bring a sword to our nation. God is going to move in our nation. He's going to shake our nation. But in the midst of it all, He's going to have a people who are not moved, who are not shaken, who are not in fear, who are not running in confusion, but they're standing and declaring the faithfulness of God because they've already been through the fires and they know He's faithful. Just this week, I've had an opportunity to see this. We had our Tuesday night prayer meeting. One of our members came in and said, "I just want to give all praise to the Lord. I've been in a desperate place. I've been in a hard place. And I've had nobody to turn to but to the Lord." And I turned to the Lord and I began to pray and said, "Lord, I just have needs and I just need You to provide. I'm in this desperate place and I don't know where else to turn." But the Lord answered that prayer. And the Lord is answering that prayer. And she come in, and in essence what she was saying is, "I just want to give all praise and honor to glory to God because I have found out God is my provider." Brothers and sisters, she learned that in the fire. And if God chooses to collapse America's economy when everyone else is in confusion, everyone else is in fear, everyone else is in turmoil, she's going to stand and say, "I know where my help comes. My health comes from the Lord. I found out that God is my provider and I will not fear." A testimony. In the fire. Can only be forged in the fire. And because they have already passed through the fires with God, they're going to be an anchor in these very dark times. They're going to be an anchor for the multitudes in the church who are now not pressing into the Lord because they're in their own little bubble of slumber and comfort. They're going to be an anchor to newborn babes in Christ caught in the middle of these dark times because they yet haven't learned to walk in Christ's strength. They're going to be an anchor to the many who are lost without Christ, running and looking for hope, and their lives are going to shine with hope. Brothers and sisters, the reason why many of you are in the fires right now is because God is making you into an anchor. God is establishing a testimony of His faithfulness, and you're not going to be shaken. And when so many people are running to and fro in fear and confusion and just looking for some word of hope and just looking for some kind of stability, you're going to be there with the testimony of the Lord shining in your life. God is making us into anchors. God is proving His word in our lives. God is putting us in the fires and He's proving His word in our lives. He's trying His word in our lives. And He's showing us, doesn't matter how dark times are going to get, He's faithful. The Lord is faithful. Understand, these fires are not for our destruction, but for our liberation. I want you to look at Daniel 4 with me again. Look at verse 24 and 25. Daniel chapter 3, verse 24 and 25. "Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and ran up and made haste and spoke and said unto his counselors, 'Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire?' They answered and said unto the king, 'True, O king.' He answered and said, 'Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt.' So the king says, 'Didn't we bind three men and throw them in the fire? And behold, I see these men, and they're loose in the fire, walking around in the fire.'" And that's the purpose of these fires. We have to understand they're not for our destruction. They're for our liberation. See, when we pass through these fires, we come out more free than we went in. Now, this is what the Lord put on my heart. We come out free from misgivings we have about the Lord. We come out free from suspicions that we have about the Lord. We come out free from fears and mistrusts we have about the Lord. Why? Because in these fires, God has proven His faithfulness over and over and over again. And when we come out of these fires, there's just a coming out and understanding that God is faithful. I've seen Him faithful over and over and over again in my trials and in my time of need. God is faithful. And there's just a liberty that comes in your heart. It's a purifying fire. I can't help but think about Corrie ten Boom as I was putting this message together. A woman who came out of a Nazi death camp. And she came out of a Nazi death camp with a message for a despairing world. Corrie ten Boom said in her own words, she said, "I needed to share what I and Betsy learned in the Ravensbrück concentration camp. That there is no pit too deep where God's love is not deeper still." She learned that in the fire. Corrie ten Boom said that coming out of a Nazi concentration camp, she came out with one message that can be summed up in three words. Jesus is victor. No matter what you go through, Jesus is victor. No matter what you go through, Jesus has already won the victory. And they may put your heart, they may put your body in a prison, but they can't put your heart in a prison. Doesn't matter what circumstances you go through. Freedom has nothing to do with your crises and trials and tribulations. Your heart is free because your heart is at rest in Jesus. You are free when your heart is at rest in Jesus. No matter what's going on, that's when you're free. And she said, "I have learned in the fire that no matter what they do to my body, my heart can rest in the Lord." That's freedom. Now understand, in these fires, God is giving us a voice of authority. I want you to go with me to the book of Acts, chapter 27. We're going to talk about Paul a minute. How many of you know Paul went through his own fires? But because of his troubles and his trials and his tribulations, he learned something that still comforts our hearts today. Paul learned that, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." Paul could only receive that revelation in the fire. Brothers and sisters, these fires are not for our destruction, but to reveal the unfailing love and faithfulness of the Lord. That's what these fires are for. Now understand, in these fires, God is giving us a voice of authority. Acts 27, look at verse 20 through 25. Says, "And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that would sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me." So here we have Paul, and he's a prisoner on a ship. And the Bible says here that this ship comes into a great storm. It's a very great storm. And the people aboard the ship are running in fear. They're running in confusion. They're running in turmoil. But this man, Paul, who is being held in the bowels of the ship, that's where the prisoners was held. But this man, Paul, who was being held in the belly of the ship, receives a word from the Lord. And in the midst of this storm, there comes a voice of authority. In the midst of this storm, there comes a man with the authoritative word of God within his heart. And this man begins to speak into their fears, and he begins to speak into their confusion, and he begins to speak in their panic and in their chaos. He begins to declare the word of the Lord. And I want to ask you a question. Was the word that was in Paul's mouth a word of authority? I want you to look with me at verse 30 through 32. Now Paul has a voice in this storm. God has a voice speaking in this storm. And verse 30 says, "And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea under color, as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, Except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off." So in other words, what did the soldiers just do? Paul stands up with a word of authority. Paul says, "This is the word of the Lord. You got people trying to get in lifeboats and save their own lives. You got people getting in their lifeboats," which represents your own strength, your own ideas, your own flesh. You got people getting in lifeboats trying to save their own lives. But unless they stay on the ship, their lives are going to be lost. And the Bible says when they heard Paul speak this, they cut off the lifeboats. Now listen, what they simply did here is they simply abandoned their life to the word that proceeded out of Paul's mouth. Listen, if the word of God did not come through for them, they had no lifeboats and they were doomed to drown in a sinking ship. But they knew when Paul stood up and was speaking, they knew they was hearing something. They was hearing something from heaven. They was hearing something that doesn't come out of the heart of man. They were hearing the word of God. And they cut those lifeboats off, simply meaning they totally abandoned themselves to the word of God. We totally throw ourselves at the mercy. We totally give ourselves to the word of God. Paul had a voice of authority in that storm. Beloved, what we have to understand is fires only cloak us with authority. It's in the fires where God refines men and women of God. It's in the fires that God shapes and molds men and women of God. And when you're a man or woman of God, you walk with an authority upon your life, and it's the authority of God. And in times of trouble, in times of hardship, you have an authority. And when you speak, people know, yes, this is the word of God. This is because it's spoken with the authority of heaven behind it. Now, let me ask you a question. Why is the Lord going to send a shaking to our nation? Why is he going to send a shaking to his church? Why are the storm clouds gathering over our nation and over the church? Look at Acts chapter 28, verse 21 again. It says, but after long absence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sir, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. So in other words, Paul is saying, listen, you should have listened to me when it was smooth sailing. You should have listened to me when the skies were clear. You should have listened to me when the sun was shining on the water and sparkling like diamonds. But you wouldn't listen to me then. But you'll listen to me now. You will listen to me now. Beloved, the world and our family members and the apathetic and the church may not listen to us now because they are asleep in their comfort and their materialism. But they'll listen to us then. They'll listen to that voice of authority that is not shaken by the storm because of the word of the Lord has already been proven in their lives. And they're going to find comfort, and they're going to find hope, and they're going to find salvation in the authority of the word of God that comes through a vessel who's done been through the storms, who's done been through the fires. And now they walk with an authority in their heart. They walk with an authority in their mouth. You know why Lot lost his sons-in-law? Because he tried to tell them about a storm that was coming. He tried to tell them about judgment coming upon Sodom, but they laughed at him as one who mocked. You know why? He had no authority in his words. You know why he had no authority in his words? He was a righteous man. He wasn't living in their sin, but he was living for the same thing they were living for. Materialism, prosperity, self-gain. And he had no authority, and he lost his family. But brothers and sisters, there's some people who love the Lord, and they're going through the fires with God. And their hope and their confidence and their trust is in the Lord. And when they come out, they're going to have a voice of authority that's going to speak in that storm. And people are going to find salvation in the Lord. When I went home for vacation back in July, I went and visited a dear saint of God, very, very dear to my heart. And her name is Nell. And she played a key role in my growth as an early Christian. And I went and seen her. And Nell has been sick and bedridden for 2 years. She hasn't been out of her bed in 2 years. And I went and I saw her and I knocked on the door and her family was there. They said, come in. And I went in and they were all gathered around the television and watching the television. And they said, Nell's in the back and she's waiting to see you. And I went to see her and I was just trying to talk to her, but we could hear her family around the television, watching television. So I just shut the door and I said, Nell, I'm just here to encourage you in the Lord. I'm just here to encourage you. Don't lose faith. Don't get discouraged. Don't quit. God is with you, and he's not going to leave you, and he's not going to forsake you. And we had a time of prayer together. And after we had our time of prayer, we could just hear her family on the other side of the door in the living room, you know, laughing and watching TV. And I said, I just felt the Spirit of the Lord come upon me. And I said, Nell, where does your family stand with God? Where are they with the Lord? And she says, well, they're too caught up in their own little world right now to even care about God and the things of God. They're so given to making money. A lot of them have good jobs and paying jobs, and their whole life revolves around making money and around materialism. And they just right now just do not see their need for the Lord. And the Lord began to just, the Spirit of God just come upon my heart. And I said, Neil, there's a storm coming. There's a storm coming. Many can't see it, but if you could see it, you would see over America there are dark clouds beginning to gather. And when God begins to shake this earth, He's going to strip away all superficial joy. Everything that worldly people find their joy in and security in, God's going to strip it all away. And there's going to be people, and there's going to be fear, and there's going to be confusion. But I want you to know something, Neil. God is preparing you to be an anchor to your family. Why? Because you are going through the fires with God. You are learning the faithfulness of the Lord. God is keeping you. God is strengthening you. God is providing for you. God is encouraging you. And you're learning the faithfulness of the Lord. And when God begins to shake this land, they're going to have an anchor because they're going to have someone with a voice of authority. Everyone else may be afraid. Everybody else may be in confusion. Everyone else may be running with fear. But you're going to stand because you know the faithfulness of God in your life. I'm going to say this in love, but I'm going to say it in the authority of the Holy Ghost. They may not listen to us now, but they will listen to us then. When God begins to bust that bubble of comfort and materialism and prosperity, when God begins to wipe the carpet out from under us with all these things, they may not listen to us now, but they will listen to us then. And God will have a voice of authority. I feel led by the Lord just to bring Daniel chapter 3 out in another way. Go with me to Daniel chapter 3, 1 through 3. It says, Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of the gold, whose height was 60 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king set to gather together the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the province to come to dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Notice that word set up. Then the princes, the governors, and captains, and judges, and treasurers, and counselors, and sheriffs, and all the rulers of the province were gathered together unto the dedication of the image King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Now, when I was reading those scriptures, those two words, set up, just began to strike my heart. And I something grabbed my heart, and when I look at this, it really appears to me that the devil is behind this whole thing trying to set up these three Hebrew boys. I believe ultimately that God is in control here, and He's giving the devil some slack on his leash because He wants to be glorified through these three Hebrew boys. But behind it is the enemy trying to set these three Hebrews up. He's trying to destroy their testimony. It's the same spirit that was working behind the princes of Persia because they were envious and jealous. They set Daniel up. They said, King, let's make a decree that nobody can pray to their God for 30 days. They were after Daniel's life. They were after his testimony. They were trying to set him up. And I believe it's the same spirit behind this fiery furnace trying to set these three Hebrew boys up, trying to destroy their testimony, trying to get rid of their testimony, trying to destroy their lives. But ultimately, the Lord was glorified. But in this, looking at this, how the enemy was trying to set these three Hebrews up, I saw something that applies to us today. In our nation, the laws of the land are subtly but speedily changing. We are fastly approaching that place where we can no longer call sin, sin anymore. We are rapidly coming to that place where we will be against the law of the land to preach against homosexuality and to preach that immorality and abortion is sin and that needs to be repented of. And if we preach that, there will be great consequences. I believe it's the attempt of the enemy to silence the voice of the church. It is getting to the point where the church is either going to bow to the spirit of this age or go to the fire. Did you hear me? I think that's powerful. It's getting to the point with the laws of the land, the church is either going to stand up for what it believes or it's going to go to the fire. It's either going to bow to the laws of this land or stand up for what they believe is the truth of the Word of God and go to the fire. And sad many are going to bow. See, out of the nation of Israel, only four Hebrew boys stood and refused to bow and so go to the fire. Only very few. Many are going to bow to the spirit of the age. Many are going to compromise their message. Many are going to pick and choose what they're going to stand for to avoid offending anyone. But those who do not bow, the fire is only going to reveal the glory of God. The fire is only going to reveal the glory of Christ. There's going to be such a revelation of God's glory revealed in the fire. Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, he says, all that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. As an American church, we are quickly approaching that place. If the Lord doesn't intervene, one day we will be at that place where we are either going to stand for what we know is right as Christians and be persecuted for it, or compromise our beliefs. But those who choose to be persecuted for godliness will see the glory of Christ revealed in the fire. There will be such an abundance of God's presence. There will be such an abundance of God's revelation. There's going to be such an abundance of God's anointing. There's going to be such abundance of God's life poured out upon His church in the fire. And what the devil meant for bad, God's going to turn for good. Because there are going to be so many bound in these sins, homosexuality, immorality, and they're going to see the glory of God upon the church, and they're going to say, they have something that I need. I can go there and be set free from my sin. I can go there and be set free from the dominion of sin that's destroying my life. Because of the glory of God that is revealed in the fire. Now I want to say this, and please hear me because this is so important. With the laws of the land so rapidly changing, what should we be doing as a church now? What we should be doing as a church now is praying for wisdom. See, brother says we need to be praying, oh God, in times of confrontation, I don't want to get boosted up in my pride and my religious zeal and in my arrogance and only bring a reproach to the name of Christ. But God, I'm simply asking you for the wisdom. Show me how I'm to stand and show me how I'm to keep my standard when confronting with evil. See, brothers and sisters, in this time when the laws of the land are beginning to come into this confrontation with the beliefs of the church, we don't need to get puffed up in our religious zeal. We don't say, well, bless God, who do they think they are? I'm going to stand up and let my voice be known. There might be a place for that. But what we need more than anything is the wisdom of God. God, just show me how I'm to keep your standard when confronted with evil. How, Lord? And I'll keep it even if it means going to the fire. Amen. You with me this morning? Is the Lord speaking to us this morning? This isn't just a sermon. I know that I've heard from the Lord. Some very dark times are coming. That's why so many of you are in the fire. Because the word of the Lord is being proven in your lives now. So when everybody else is moved, you're not moved. You know the faithfulness of God. And you're an anchor. Now, I just want to end with a word of comfort for those who are in the fire. Go with me to Job chapter 23, verse 10. Brothers and sisters, Job was in the fire. How many of you know that? Job was in the fire. It says, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Job says two things. He says, he knows the way that I take. And God wants you to know this morning that He knows right where you're at. He wants you to know that He's walking with you in the fire every step of the way. The Lord wants you to know that He hasn't left you. He hasn't forsaken you. He's touched with the feelings of your infirmities. He shares your griefs. But He's taking you through the fire for a reason. And the Lord wants you to know this morning, because that He's with you, you're not going to sink and you're not going to drown. You're going to come through it. With a testimony. Why? Because God is with you. The Lord is with you. You know, I heard an amazing testimony from a man, about a man named Christian Roger. He was a member of a church that took a stand against Hitler and Nazism back when Hitler was making conquests. And he took a stand against Hitler and he took a stand against Nazism. And he was eventually arrested and put in Dachau prison. Very bad place. And he said that while he was in prison, such a fear and a darkness gripped his heart and gripped his life. And he was just so overwhelmed by his fear and his darkness. And he said he got a letter from his wife. And in this letter, his wife was encouraging him. And she gave him a verse, Acts chapter 4, 26 through 29, which says, "The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ." Goes on to say, "For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. Now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants with all boldness that they may speak the word of the Lord." She gave him this verse, and it brought him some comfort. But then he found out the next day he was going to be interrogated by the Nazi authorities. And again, the fear just gripped his heart. And they took him to a waiting room, and they sat him in a waiting room. And he was to wait there because there was a man already in the interrogation room being interrogated. So he sat there a while, and then the man being interrogated came out and handed him a matchbox. And he quickly slid it into his pocket, and he went into with the Nazi authorities, and they interrogated him a couple hours, and then they put him back in his prison cell. And when he sat down in his prison cell, he pulled his little matchbox out, and he opened the matchbox, and there was a little slip of paper. And the little slip of paper says Acts 4, verses 26 through 29. And he got a revelation that God is with me, that I'm not here alone by myself. I'm not here in Dachau prison in all of this darkness and all of this fear that's going on. I'm not here by myself. God is with me. And ultimately, God is sovereign over my life. And if I continue to trust the Lord, come what may, God will be glorified through my life. Brothers and sisters, He knows the way that we take. He knows the path that we walk. And God is with us. Secondly, Job said, "And when He has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Gold is refined in fire. Gold is purified in fire." There is a purpose to our trials, and that is to purify and strengthen our faith. In these troubled times that many of God's people are walking through right now, God is making them into a great man and woman of faith through these trials. Some time ago, someone wrote a letter to Billy Graham. They wrote Billy Graham a letter, and they said, "Dear Reverend Graham, maybe you can help me understand my cousin. She was seriously hurt in an auto accident about a year ago, and she'll never fully recover from her injuries. Yet she is always cheerful and says God has been so good to her. How can she say such a thing? If that happened to me, I would be angry at God. How could God let this happen to her?" And Billy Graham wrote back and he replied, "Your cousin has probably asked the same question you have, and I'm sure her path has not been easy. But in the midst of it, she has made a very important discovery. God is with us in the midst of life's hardest situations. In other words, the reason why your cousin feels this way is because her faith is stronger than her circumstances." And that really ministered to my heart, that her faith is stronger than her circumstances. This is what the fires do. In the long run, trials and hardships only serve to strengthen and fortify our faith. They only serve to produce a faith in our hearts that is going to bring God much glory and honor and praise. That's what the fires do. Beloved, if you're going through a fire, if you are in the fire of your life, God wants you to know something. You're not alone. He's with you. He's carrying you. His grace, His strength, His compassion, His tenderness, His mercy is picking you up and giving you strength. The Lord wants you to know He's not indifferent. He's touched with the feelings of your infirmities. But the Lord also wants you to know there's a reason why you're in the fires. There's a purpose for it. God is purifying your faith. God is strengthening your faith, because there's some very dark times coming. But when so many are running in fear and confusion and chaos, God's going to have a people glorifying the Lord in the midst of the fires. God is going to have a people that says, "You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be hopeless. You don't have to be in despair. Give your life to Jesus, because He is faithful." They will find a voice of authority and hope in these coming storms. Brothers and sisters, don't get caught up in this bubble that America is in. good times, prosperity. Nothing can touch us. Nothing can... I'm going to tell you something. God's getting ready to bust that bubble. So more than ever, we need to be pressing into the Lord. More than ever, we need to say, God, your grace is sufficient. Prepare me to be that vessel that's going to give you glory in the coming storm. I know you're with me. Stand with me this morning. If you're in the fire this morning, God wants to comfort your heart. God wants you to know that He's in this fire with you. You're not going to drown in it. You're not going to be consumed by it. What's going to happen is you're going to see the faithfulness of the Lord, and you're going to come out of that fire persuaded more than you've ever been that God is faithful. So this morning, if you are in the fire and you just say, God, I just need you to touch me. I just know if you would just touch me, I can make it through. God, I just need you to encourage my heart. I just need one more time for you just to whisper in my ear, I'm with you. I want you just to come down now to the altar and let God begin to speak to your heart.